Ich bin jedes Mal dankbar.
I'm grateful every time I can be here. I'm simply drawn here to hear the word of the Lord. I don't just bring it, I also have ears. I hear it at the same time as I bring it. And that's exactly how it is with my brothers. And the psalm came into my heart. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Simply a joy. Let us go to the house of the Lord. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And when we then go from the outer court into the sanctuary, and from the sanctuary into the Holy of Holies, then that is better than 10,000 other days. And so we are very grateful to the Lord for all His mercies, especially for revealing His word to us. His revealed word is the revealed will of God for this time, the living word and work of God in our days. There is just no other way to say it. Between the two weekends that have just passed, I continued to work a little on my fringe, and I experienced some things. As you know, I was in France and made good use of my time there. What saddened me very much was what I saw and heard. My window faced the main street, and it was carnival time, and I didn't have to make any effort to look down. And lo and behold, marching bands from Amsterdam, the 6th U.S. Fleet, and everything that is famous, distinguished and renowned. And do you know what they were playing? When the saints go marching in. On that Hallelujah Day. And as if that weren't enough, the next band played Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, with all the masks and the parade. It was like a stab in the heart. And I thought to myself, where is this all leading? Where will it all end? The fear of God has completely disappeared. People no longer know what they are doing. And it went even further. There was a television in the room. I wanted to hear it so that I could understand the words acoustically and perhaps remember them better. And lo and behold, a charlatan with tricks and witchcraft and sorcery, openly on public television, saying, "This is something from Senegal. Call me and I will tell you exactly what you have." I had to turn the thing off in anger because I didn't want to watch anymore. It's all ruled by Satan. Satan is the god of this world. And we can only be grateful that God has opened our eyes so that we can escape this ruin. Because humanity is indeed heading for ruin. Everything is bewitched. Everything is trapped in Satan's spell. The whole world is in Satan's spell. And they don't know it. I don't want to go into that in detail. I prefer this newspaper clipping that I received on the 20th of February, 1988. I don't know if it was in our newspapers as well. Here we have the headline, 28 tons of Bibles to Moscow. Two trucks belonging to the state-owned Soviet transport company picked up 35,000 Bibles from the Bible House in Stuttgart on Thursday. The load weighed around 28 tons and is to be taken to Moscow via Warsaw, Brest and Minsk according to the German Bible Society. According to their information, this is the first shipment of Bibles to reach the Soviet Union in the 1000th anniversary year of Christianity in Russia. The Council of Evangelical Christians and Baptists had received permission from the state to import 100,000 Bibles gradually to mark the anniversary. So, it's not all bad news. There is some good news too. One piece of bad news came from a US radio and television evangelist. I have only heard about this. I have not read a single line about it. So I do not know the details. But I have heard enough to know that these men are also gloating over each other's misfortune, digging each other's graves, and bearing ill will towards one another. And so you can see across the board that malice is taking over. Only in the true bride will the genuine love of God be found in the end. Everything else will be destroyed. And precisely in the small circle in which this topic came up, a question was also asked, the question of grace. And the question was, when does grace begin? When does it end? And what is grace anyway? And when I heard that condemnation was based on guilt, and that grace had come to an end, and judgment had begun, I simply had to say, where grace ends with human beings, grace begins with God. Do you understand that well? Where grace ends in human beings, where love ends, and many other things end, there it only begins with God. What is grace? Who receives grace? Who is pardoned? Those who have become guilty, who have been condemned, those who are in prison can be pardoned. A person who has done nothing walks around freely. Only those who have become guilty are condemned, and then the condemned can be granted grace by means of a decree. And then the thought really struck me, even where believers think that this is the end, right? Because somewhere there is a transgression, and for them grace is over. Not for them, only for others. For each and every one of them, grace continues to exist more firmly than ever, only for the specific person, not anymore. And then it's over. Then it really occurred to me that where people, even believers, cut grace short and dismiss it, that is where it begins with God. That is where it begins with God. And let us really take care not to despise God's grace and not to impute guilt, but to know and understand why grace was actually given and bestowed, namely to acquit the condemned, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and to announce release to those who are in prison. That is Luke chapter 4 from verse 19 with reference to Isaiah 61. And we must always keep that in mind so that we do not become guilty. Who has questions I did not expect to be standing here tonight. I actually wanted to remain seated. Are there questions in our midst so that we can have a Bible study? Daniel chapter 2. Which verse, Brother Schmidt? And may I know what the specific question is? The statue. The statue is practically the same as the four successive world empires, only described in a different form. The statue has exactly the same meaning as in chapter 7, from verse chapter 7, from verse 7. Yes, you should actually read from verse 2. But they are both exactly the same, just described with different images. We can read it. We have the time. Daniel 2, 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given into thine hand, and has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom. Right? After thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. So this is the fourth kingdom, the last. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, here the word mixed is not quite an accurate translation, for iron and clay do not mix. You can stick iron and clay together or glue them together. And Brother Branham explained this in his sermon. After Khrushchev took off his shoe at the UN, turned it upside down and banged it on the table. After that, Brother Branham gave this powerful sermon and said, here is fulfilled what is written in the prophet Daniel. He interpreted the word iron from Eisenhower and Khrushchev as clay and so forth, and said that one represents the East and the other the West, and that this is now the coming together of these two. And that is exactly what I wrote in the last brochure, that the East and the West, whether they are 10 toes or 10 horns, doesn't matter. The same system is being described. There are two different systems that must work together. The difference lies only in the horns and in the toes, not in the 7 heads. And once we have understood what the 7 heads are, namely those who have the say, the government, who have the planning, and the others are executive bodies. The 10 toes do not determine anything, but they can walk well, can't they? When the foot moves, that is a completely normal thing. And so we see here, in a unique way, the last empire, namely the Roman Empire, represented. And what is of great importance here is that it is partly iron, partly clay, partly the empire is solid, and partly it is fragile. If you look at the world today, everything is bankrupt. Look at the whole of the East, indebted to the hilt. There's no way forward. There are things I don't want to say here yet, but the European currency, the euro, will suddenly be here. I spoke to people this week. It was incredible. Heads of state have already invested all their large sums in euros. Heads of state, I spoke to people who monitor these accounts and so forth. And it will come. Confidence in the dollar is completely gone. The Federal Republic of Germany spent over 6 billion on its last bailout. It was in the newspapers, and it's getting worse and worse. And all the bailouts were just like injections for an old horse that somehow manages to stay on its feet for a short while before collapsing. And you all heard about it. When the 19th of October came and Mitterrand was in the coronation hall in Aachen, you know all the story or what he said to our Mr. Kohl. He said, "Our two nations must reflect on the shared history and plan a common future." And it was in the coronation hall in Aachen when Mitterrand said, "This is a sign that the European currency must take the lead. The dollar can no longer do so." Did you follow that? These are things that are simply on the agenda now. They are just here. And suddenly, the dollar will no longer be sustainable. And today, everything is based on the dollar. Throughout the East and West and South and North, the whole world calculates on a dollar basis. Only in the EC is there parity with the euro. But the moment the Federal Republic of Germany allows the euro, which has not yet happened, all the others, Italy, France, Luxembourg, Belgium, Holland, everywhere, the euro is already accepted as a means of payment. This means that you can hold an account in euros. And Stoltenberg has said no until now. And there is a reason for that, because the story is not yet fully developed. But as soon as that happens, the European community will take over the entire leadership role, not only here in Central Europe, but it will spread to the whole world. And everything will have to bow down here before the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. It is the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. Why German nation? You can read about it in the history books. The popes never took Poland or Lithuania or Latvia or France or Italy. They took the German rulers. And it was given the title, the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. Why? There was no one who had the power or the ability or the knowledge. But I don't want to get into politics. How did we even get to all this here tonight? Brother Schmidt, you've led me down a path today. This is incredible. But, as I said, things have already matured so far. It's just a matter of dragging it out a little longer until the hour strikes. And the moment the Federal Republic of Germany says, yes, the euro is the official currency, everything will be on the ground. Then it won't just be a devaluation. Then you can throw the 1,000 ruble note into the rubbish bin with a bang. And then everyone will have to come knocking. And that's where the power will be. because, as you know, the euro is backed by gold, and only those countries whose currencies are backed by gold to the same extent will be granted parity with the euro, and those who cannot do so will not be able to join the European community unless they can prove that they have gold for the amount they would receive in return. These are all very clear decisions. And finally, I'm not supposed to tell you all this, but there are really many things that we have seen, heard, and observed over the years. We are not just preaching here, we are also observing history, how everything is developing, and we believe that we are truly in the last days, and all things are taking shape. I'd better read on here. Or was that all, Brother Schmidt? Daniel 2. I had read up to 42. Then it says here in verse 43, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." There we have it. If you look at history, how it all was, the royal houses among themselves, but we don't have time for that. In any case, it has all been very well understood. You wouldn't believe how much thought, what a team of advisors the Vatican has everywhere in civilian life, basically everywhere. You've read it in the newspapers. The leader of the third largest country in terms of population in the world, in India, Rajiv Gandhi, is marrying an Italian woman. His son and daughter are both studying in Moscow at the Spanish Jesuit school. Both of them, the son and the daughter. It was in the newspapers. He is a Hindu, head of state of a nation of 750 million people. Who arranged it? Who is doing all this? And whether you believe me or not, I have. One shouldn't say it. There are many things one shouldn't say, but anyone who has read Riviera's book and other books knows that the Jesuits in particular train and drill everyone in every way possible. They are trained to be Pentecostals so that they come across as 100% Pentecostals without being detected. The managers of Katrin Kuhlmann and others of high reputation, Jesuits in civilian clothes. And what was it? What was it? Someone told me that a German evangelist said that he had been very skeptical about Katrin Kuhlmann, but since she laid her hands on him, he had been authorized to minister. Yes, and this is the son of the man where Brother Brenham preached in Karlsruhe, where the doors were opened. It is truly unbelievable how far people can stray from God when they rebel against the truth. The truth is there to be accepted, that you are inwardly on board and permeated by the truth. Those who lose their love for the truth will go from error to error. But as I said, those who do not listen to God and do not accept the truth will accept whatever else may come. I will continue reading from verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. When? In the days of the kings, of the last beast, of the fourth beast, have we all understood this? This is the time in which we now live. There is much to say and write about this. One day it will cost me my life, if the time still lasts. But if we who know the truth do not spread it, who will? Who will do it? And it is simply necessary that we do such things, especially from the prophetic word. What did Peter say back then? We have a more sure word of prophecy, which shines like a bright light in a dark place. Can we not say the same today? About things that people have stumbled over and fallen over and written books about with 1,000 pages saying nothing. And today, in the time of the revelation of these things, when we see them all with our own eyes, we need to write almost nothing and can say what God has said in His Word. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Many empires have fallen, been destroyed, and then destroyed again those that had previously triumphed. History has always gone up and down. But on Judgment Day, it will also be decided who started things in the Second World War and who was responsible. If the Pope had not blessed the German weapons, what would have happened? A campaign through Poland, 18 days, without a war taking place. Who orchestrated it all? Ask Franz von Papen. Unfortunately, he is no longer alive. But as I said, we are not allowed to say such things. But we have read about it and know exactly who wanted to fight Bolshevism and who was afraid that it would come too close to him. There was an army very convenient, so that the matter could be driven far into the Ural. No, as we read here, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and interpretation thereof sure. Amen. Amen. The interpretation thereof is sure. You can read about it in Zechariah and so on. I lay a stone, and seven eyes are on this stone. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Here it says, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes, and so forth. And then there is the word here about the stone that breaks loose. Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4 from verse. Let me just see about a stone that breaks loose from the mountain, and the stone becomes a mountain again. Can we just quickly look it up? It should be here in Zechariah 4. Of course, I wasn't prepared for this. From verse 7 perhaps, let me see. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. But I'm looking for another verse. Has anyone found it? That the stone has become a great mountain. Perhaps I will have it here next Wednesday evening. In any case, let us return to Daniel and open chapter 7, and you will find here in verse 7, one moment, Daniel 7, from verse 23, we can skip the others here. You can read verse 17, you can read a few verses. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Here, of course, the correct translation must be until an eon of eons, for eternity is no longer divided. In verse 23 it says, Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. Right up to the very last section, where the people of Israel must once again go through a time of trial, namely in the last 3.5 years. And then it also says here, probably in verse 26, here it says, But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Just as we read here in chapter 2, so it is written here in chapter 7. These are descriptions of the same thing, using different images. Take Daniel 7. I see it right here in verse 8, where it says about the one horn, that the horn had human eyes and so on, a mouth that spoke presumptuous words. We could go to Revelation 13 and see, or also 17, applies to the papacy. Rightly so. No one is as presumptuous as that one. What did I just say? Revelation 13, right? Pardon? I mean Revelation 13. Yes, Revelation 13, verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Do you realize what period of time this is? Then we will have taken up our mansions in heaven at that time. Do you understand that? Is that clear? For the Lord says, I am going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. When the bride takes up her dwelling there in glory, the Jews, after they have become believers, will still have to go through this difficult time, and then everything that can be blasphemed will be blasphemed. And this man will also blaspheme those who have their dwelling in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This cannot be overlooked or ignored. It has been described so clearly from all directions, with such a variety of images and symbols, that there is simply no way around it. Bible prophecy of the end times has been described so many times in Daniel and Revelation. No other subject has been described so clearly. But even here, the word is being fulfilled, as written here in Revelation 13. Revelation 13, last verse, you all know image, an image of the beast, number of his name, and so on. Last verse, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, not the number of a communist system, but of a man, a man. And his number is 666. Vicarius Filii Dei sits on the city with seven hills. I have visited the Vatican 3 times. I have seen the treasure chambers. I saw Jesus made of gold. I saw all this with my own eyes. Yes, sir. Especially in 62, 64, even back then. And the description here is so accurate. You can read about it in Revelation 17. The eighth is one of the seven, right? A state within a state. I told you this here. During the tour of the Vatican, the first thing the man said to us was, I would like to inform you that you are not in Italy now. You are in the Vatican State. We have our own government, our own flag. We have our ambassadors. We are a state within a state. And when he said that, the revelation came. I received a revelation from the Holy Spirit in the Vatican. I came back, read Revelation 17, and here it says, he is one of the eight. I'll read it to you, so you know exactly what verse touched my soul. Here, in Revelation 17, verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. He is the eighth. He shoots out between the other horns, and everyone sees only seven, but he is the eighth, belongs to the seven, a state within a state, and the people do not understand. They do not know what is going on, because their eyes are simply closed to it, and they cannot see it, even if the handwriting on the wall were as clear as day. How grateful we can be to God that we too had a prophet of God in these days. And as Daniel said back then, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. A God in heaven who revealeth secrets. And he said, even if soothsayers and magicians and all these people cannot read the handwriting, I will tell you what is written there. And then came the proclamation that all peoples, tongues and nations should worship the God of heaven. That is proclaimed. When the whole thing, the whole drama is over, then every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Then it will be different. Then our time will come. then we will reign and rule. Then things will change. Today we are the foolish, then we will be the wise. Today we are the despised, then we will be honored. Amen. We can be grateful. A prophetic age, a prophetic word, and God sent His prophet. Not that we should argue about the meaning of the thunders or miss the time. One says this, another says that. Recently, a beloved brother who was visiting me, probably yesterday, from Belgium, he said, "What exactly are the seven thunders?" I said, "I have exactly 32 quotations. And if you ask me what the result of these 32 quotes is, I could not tell you." Let it rest. When the time comes, we will be informed. We are not speculating. We have trusted God until today and will continue to trust God. He who has brought us this far and given us enlightenment will do so until the end. Another brother writes a letter and says, "In one sermon, Brother Branham said that the soul has five entrances, and in another sermon he said that the spirit has five entrances. I am not interested in whether the spirit or the soul has five entrances. I am interested in whether my five senses are intact and whether I can believe from my heart. Can you agree? Are you of the same opinion? Why should I specialize in any particular thing? I have never specialized in anything in my life. And that will remain so until the end." No, we believe that God will truly do something mighty in the end. And then I said to the brother, "In the earthly realm, I may deduce that every time it thunders, the sky clouds over, and then you know for sure it's about to pour, right?" I say, "If anyone here talks about thunder and the rain doesn't come, then stop talking about thunder. If a thunderstorm is coming, spiritually speaking, from God, then let the latter rain come with this thunder from God. Then we'll all be happy. But a thunder doctrine makes too much noise. We don't need that. Better to wait until the hour of God comes. Go with Him." And you all know that Brother Branham also had to wait. The time was not as far advanced as it is today. And I believe 100% that if he were still here today, he too would have gone with the times and seen all things more clearly. You may say, "Is that possible?" Yes, sir, it is possible. Even prophets and apostles could only say what was revealed to them by God, no more and no less. Do not think that a prophet is someone who opens a sack and hands out gifts like a Santa Claus. That does not exist. Even a prophet must wait until it is given to him by God. And surely it was not the time to talk about it. And Brother Branham said that too. He said he spoke about the first and second pull, but he was not to say a word about the last round, about the third pull, about what will happen at the very end. Did you catch all that? He was not to say a word about it. And why not? So that there would be no imitators. What God will do in the end, no evangelist on earth will be able to imitate. You saw it in the days of Moses. When it started, Jannes and Jambres were there too. They took their staffs, threw them down, they became serpents, and they did this and that. But in the end, it was over. There was only one to be heard and one to be seen. The two no longer had sticks in their hands. The serpent of Moses had eaten them. Now Moses' staff had simply become larger and wider. And so he had the whole thing in his hand, and the others stood there empty-handed. That's how it will be at the very end. All the magicians, all the talkers, all the imitators will be left behind. God will reward His people because they believed in Him. God will be with us for the sake of His name, for the sake of His word. We have not believed fables. We have taken His almighty word, His revealed word, His living word into ourselves. May God help us. to walk with him to the end, until we come from believing unto seeing. Amen. Praise be to his name. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Heavenly Father, I too would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the great privilege that we may already be in your kingdom, that you reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that you do not just place images, riddles, parables, or symbols before our eyes. You have taken away the veil. You have given light. You have given clarity. It is not the spirit of man that has researched. It is the Spirit of God that has revealed. Hallelujah. And for this we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Beloved Lord, let me and us, just as we see all other things so clearly, also see your way with us, how things should continue now. O great God, as my brother prayed, everything else is a framework, a theater that must be played out. Everyone must play a different role. But you have a plan for your people. This is not theater. This is the revelation of the Word of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is the fulfillment of the plan of salvation among your people. Beloved Lord, what shall we say to you? Thank you. You, the God of Daniel, God of Abraham, you are the same God who spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. You are the same God who spoke to Brother Branham. You are the same God, the living God, who speaks to us to this day. Hallelujah! To your glorious name, lift up your countenance upon us. Give us your blessing, your peace, your grace, your salvation, your love, and be with your people as you were in the beginning, O Lord, in our midst, and bear witness as the risen one. To you, the living God, we give all glory. Bless all those who have asked for prayer. Bless Brother Vöri in Graz. You have also kept your eyes open there. You have spread out your hands in blessing and have given grace. We thank you for that. Bless all who are sick, all who labor and are heavy laden, O Lord. Bless all who remember us, and bless also those who do not remember us. We remember them and bring them before you. Bless our brothers who preside over this congregation. Bless Brother Rus in a special way, and all the brothers, Lord. Grant such unity, cooperation, a divine love among one another, Lord. Take from us everything that is not pleasing to you, and reveal the nature of Jesus Christ in our midst and through our lives. Praise and glory be to you forever, for everything. In Jesus' name, Amen.